The opinions expressed on the following sponsored program are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors. You are tuned to Natural Doc Radio, brought to you by AMT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory, and energize all the systems of your body. Every day, listen for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT Centers, as well as the interpretation and action needed based on your test results. Listen for special events at Advanced Medical Testing Centers. Tune in. Get healthy. Now, here are your hosts for the hour, Dr. Herb Slavin, MD, and Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin, and with us today is Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist. Good morning, Janet.
Good morning, Dr. Slavin.
And we're going to talk a little bit about the Zika virus. And I was just looking up where people could get tested for it if they think they might have been exposed to it. And yet that information isn't that readily available. And I thought it would be more readily available because you hear on the news how it appears that they're testing, you know, everybody, and they're coming up with a count of how many people have contracted the Zika virus.
When you're doing a test to see if somebody has contracted the virus, well, you're testing for antibodies, you're testing for viral particles. What do you test for, Dr. Slavin?
Well, I'm not sure. You know, as of a few months ago, they didn't even have a test that was effective for diagnosing Zika. So I'm not sure, you know, what they're doing now, because they've indicated, you know, there's a small number of people that have gotten Zika, but what I'd like to know, in order to know exactly what this virus does, you've got to really test everybody, because I'm sure there are a lot of people that would test positive and have absolutely no symptoms from it. But this information is just difficult to come by at this time, and I'm not sure if someone wanted to be tested for the Zika virus. I think the only place you go to the health department, as far as I can tell. So I just don't know how they're conducting all these tests and coming up with these statistics about how many cases there are. In order to really know the dangers of Zika in the context of pregnancy, you would have to test every pregnant woman to see who has Zika, who doesn't, and if they have a normal pregnancy or not, and then you can come up with some accurate data.
But, Dr. Slavin, when you're talking about, testing every pregnant woman. So let's say here's this pregnant woman, and she contracted, or she was bitten by a mosquito carrying the Zika virus 2 years ago. She didn't even know she had been bitten. You know, it was she saw the mosquito, brushed it off, didn't realize there wasn't any response to the mosquito having been on her skin. So she didn't know that she'd been bitten. And is she going to test positive for the virus? Is her pregnancy in danger? Because, again, this virus has been around for 70-something years, and there are probably huge numbers of people who've been bitten by this virus-carrying mosquito but have no signs or symptoms of being infected with a specific type of virus, the Zika virus.
Well, I think you're asking some questions there that I'm not sure the answers are actually known as to how long it takes to develop antibodies to the virus, because that's how you would normally diagnose somebody with it? And then how long will those antibodies last, assuming the virus is eradicated? So I think that question, I think the answer to that question at this time is unknown. But what I wanted to start off... Yeah, yes, Janet. What I wanted to start off talking about today is that in Florida, you know, in the Miami area, they started spraying to kill, you know, mosquitoes. They're spraying chemicals in the organophosphate category, and specifically they're using one called Nalid is what it is. And they're using that one because it's more powerful than the other ones they might have normally used because they think the mosquito has become a little resistant to the other chemicals previously used. So should we be concerned about these chemicals being sprayed in the environment?
I'm so very concerned about these chemicals because they have a neurological impact that might not necessarily be identified for years to come. So, you know, I think about people with memory issues, dementia, people with neurological issues, neuropathy and so on. We won't know for years and years if their exposure to those organophosphate chemicals are contributing factors.
Well, they say that the NALID affects animal and human health through ingestion and inhalation, and it's through the inhalation where most of the damage would occur. And animal studies have shown NALID is 20 times more toxic to rats when it was inhaled versus consuming the chemical in food and water. How are they using NALID in Florida? They're aerosolizing it. So that means if you're exposed to it, you're going to inhale it. So that's one thing. And here's another thing. When they spray it like that, and of course, I don't think there's any alternative way to use it if you're trying to kill mosquitoes. You have something called pesticide drift, which means that you may spray it in one area, but it can it'll diffuse through the environment. And they say that after it's sprayed, it can travel up to 750 meters away from the initial application site. So what is 750 meters? 7.5 football fields, if you think of it that way. So it's a pretty large area. And in animal studies, it's shown that NALID exposure causes chronic nervous system damage, resulting in spinal cord damage and decreased nervous system enzyme activity, which can lead to partial paralysis. But even probably equally as important, it's harmful to aquatic life. It's harmful to insect pollinators. You know, those are the bees, and I guess butterflies, and they're very toxic to most organisms. So I wonder, was that the wisest approach? I'm trying to think about why they wouldn't just tell people how to protect themselves from mosquitoes. Now, they've used NALID in other countries to combat Zika, and it's been very controversial. In Puerto Rico, the government met intense backlash from anti-fumigation activists when it was announced plans to begin aerial spraying of the chemical. Let's say doctors, farmers, and activists expressed grave concerns about the chemical's health and environmental effects, including the ability to kill honeybees, whose populations are already in sharp decline. And then the decision to use it here in Florida, it seems like it's like using a hammer to kill a fly. It says, to deploy a deadly chemical to fight a disease that may or may not be causing birth defects is completely irrational and borderline insane. There's a very good chance it could cause more birth defects as well as other irreparable conditions. The CDC states on its website that most people who contract Zika do not have any symptoms. And when they do, they are typically mild and include things like joint muscle pain, headaches, and fever. People usually don't get sick enough to go to the hospital, and they very rarely die of Zika. Once a person has been infected with Zika, they are likely to be protected from future infections. So that's, you know, that's that approach. But Janet, you've heard of mosquito bites before Zika came into the news, right?
Certainly.
And you would take steps to avoid being bitten by mosquitoes if you went outdoors? So I just don't know.
I would not spray a pesticide or insect repellent on my skin if I were to go into a specific mosquito-infested area. I would possibly spray it on my clothes. I would possibly, depending on where I was going and what my activity was, those activities were going to be, I would dress properly, covering most vulnerable areas of skin. The other thing that I would do is change my internal chemistry. Changing my internal chemistry by optimizing my B vitamin status, by optimizing the elemental sulfur status in my body, because when you have a scent and body chemistry that is unattractive to those biting insects, mosquitoes, no-see-ums down here in Florida, they tend to leave you alone and look for better opportunities, so to speak.
Janet, we have to take a break, but we have some natural remedy recipes, which we'll talk about after we come back. You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin with Janice Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist, and we'll be back right after this.
Delicious, fragrant, moisturizing. What is it? Janabomb. The best taste from all organic ingredients to smooth your lips. The best fragrance from all organic ingredients to soothe a bite from a mosquito or no-see-um. Heal your chapped lips. Stop the itch from an insect bite. Just a dab of Janabomb on your lips or on a rash and get relief. Janabomb's great for lips, rash, or insect bite. Find out more at Janazon.com.
Did you know that you can be eating a healthy diet, but that your body may not be absorbing the vitamins and nutrients from your foods? Advanced Medical Testing Centers is a premier blood draw center servicing Genova Diagnostics Lab. Genova offers an advanced comprehensive blood test that identifies your body's deficiencies in absorbing vitamins, nutrients, and essential cofactors. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is located at 7200 West Commercial Boulevard in Lauderhill. They offer an on-time appointment guarantee and the lowest price guarantee. Schedule your appointment today for a blood draw for the Genova Diagnostics Nutritional Evaluation Test. Call Advanced Medical Testing Centers at 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332. or visit us at amtcenters.com.
Janet's best formulas are available at Dr. Herb Slavin's office, the Institute of Advanced Medicine. Learn about building a healthy body with Janet Juice. Only 2 capsules per day start you on your way with easy-to-assimilate antioxidants. Antioxidants from goji, noni, pomegranate, raspberry, and many more. Start today to enhance your health with Janet Juice. Visit janazon.com to learn more.
You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin with Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist. We've been talking about the Zika virus, the fact that it's transmitted by mosquitoes, and how to protect yourself. Even though the government is spraying toxic chemicals in certain areas, and I thought about why they're doing it, and I think it's really more for public relations, because you can protect yourself against the mosquito bites, and by public relations I mean is if somebody were to get sick or there was an epidemic, if the government didn't appear that they were doing something actively, then of course they would be blamed. But the individual needs to take responsibility. And that's really been our theme with this radio show. You know, if you want to stay healthy or get healthy, restore your health, it's up to you to make the appropriate changes. Now, here's some interesting facts about mosquitoes. There are 3,000 species of mosquitoes in the world. And in the U.S., you have about 200 different species, and they're all a little different. And the mosquitoes are known to cause other illnesses besides Zika. For example, you have encephalitis, inflammation of the brain, yellow fever, malaria, West Nile virus, and dengue. So Zika is not the only mosquito-borne illness. And it's estimated that between 1 and 2 million people worldwide die each year from mosquito-borne illnesses, but not from Zika, mostly from malaria. And we mentioned earlier, Jana mentioned, I think she specifically mentioned DEET, because that's what the government is recommending. And you don't want to use DEET because it can have harmful side effects. So we're going to get into some of the natural approaches. Now, Janet was mentioning the B vitamins. And specifically, they've talked about using vitamin B1 or thiamine as something that might be effective against mosquito bites. Now, there are some other things, too. I'm not too familiar with these. Janet, are you familiar with neem oil?
Of course.
Well, they recommend here that in concentrations of 1% to 2% mixed with coconut oil was found to be effective against the mosquito that spreads malaria. Garlic, whether consumer or purchased as a concentrated oil and rubbed on the skin, is an effective repellent. And it works against a lot of things, not just mosquitoes. you also have lavender. You can put lavender on the skin.
I would not characterize lavender as a very good approach to repelling mosquitoes.
Okay, we'll skip that one. And they mentioned organic soybean oil, according to the New England Journal of Medicine, is an effective repellent. It says here, soy oil is inexpensive, easy to find, and works as an excellent moisturizer. I don't know, Jen, have you any experience with that one?
Not necessarily as an insect repellent, but you can put the oil, something like that, in a spray bottle. It goes on very easily. I have no experience with regard to soybean oil as an insect repellent. The neem oil has been used for hundreds of years, very effective. Taking garlic, having garlic, which would be a source of very high sulfur substances, would make your blood chemistry unattractive to insects.
All right, and now they give a couple of recipes here, which is kind of interesting. And this is really important because, particularly with children, you don't want to use chemicals on them. They're extremely dangerous. And especially if there's a safer alternative. And they're using a combination, 10 to 25 drops of essential oil. And they say, in that category, they say lavender, coriander seed, peppermint, or citronella. 2 tablespoons of vegetable oil. 1 tablespoon of aloe vera gel. Combine the ingredients in a glass jar, stir to blend, and then dab a few drops on your skin or clothing. And some of these recipes here have been found to be as effective as using DEET. So I haven't, you hear all this talk about the Zika virus, but I haven't heard anybody really talking about how to take control for yourself, take responsibility, and avoid being bitten with certain steps. There's another thing you can do. If you're going to stay outdoors in one particular area, you can put a fan on, and that'll keep the mosquitoes away. Not a ceiling fan, but the fan that'll, create a little current that'll blow the mosquitoes out of your area. But there are a lot of steps that people can do to prevent exposure. The reason you want to avoid DEET, and DEET is in a lot of different products, but it can be associated with memory loss, headaches, even muscle weakness and joint pain. It can cause tremors, seizures, skin irritation, a slow heart rate, shortness of breath. So certainly when you can find alternatives that are safe, it only makes sense. And then I wonder, Jaddy, you can go to the store, the nursery, and buy plants that are effective in repelling mosquitoes. For example, I would think if you would, don't they sell a citronella plant?
I do believe so, yes, Dr. Slavin. So some of the other things that would act as an insect repellent, rosemary does it, oregano does it, eucalyptus does it. So there are so many different areas where you can find natural substances, so many different plants that you can have planted around your yard that are going to have a discouraging scent to insects. So fleas tend to be a really big problem down here in Florida for people with dogs and cats and different animals. And so all of these things that we're discussing also would be very helpful dealing with fleas. And the big point that I think is so critically important to make, and I think we talk about it all the time here on Natural Doc Radio, Dr. Slavin, the status of someone's immune response is going to have a dramatic impact with regard to what their reaction to an insect bite might be. If your immune status is very poor, if your immune system is poorly equipped to deal with an insect bite or any kind of assault to your homeostasis, the use of these things, these natural things, may possibly have minimal benefit. However, if your status is very nicely supported, if you have vitamin C, vitamin D, vitamin A, if your microbiome is very nicely supported with a broad range of different beneficial bacteria, all of that plays a role with regard to whether you're going to get very ill when you've been bitten by an insect, whether you're going to have a dramatic reaction such as extreme swelling, itching, redness, inflammation around the area of the insect bite. So there's so much to consider. And that's one of the reasons why I was asking the questions I was asking at the beginning of the show. If you are bitten by an insect, but your immune system kind of neutralizes the negative impact of that bite, then perhaps we don't need to go into all of this spraying of horrifically dangerous chemicals into our environment, chemicals that we know are harmful to the animals and the humans that breathe in the effects or breathe in that chemical. You know, this is such a very narrow-minded approach. So you wonder, where are the scientific minds? Where are the people who actually have an ability to consider all of the different layers of what we're talking about? Oh, let's prevent some cases of microcephaly because we kind of think, we're not 100% sure, but we kind of think that microcephaly is caused by pregnant woman being bitten by a Zika-carrying mosquito. Maybe we need to think that wholesale spraying of our environment and the potential damage to the neurological function of the people and animals exposed to that chemical are that those dangers are far greater than the potential. And it is potential. It isn't for certain 100% that a pregnant woman bitten by a Zika-carrying mosquito will for certain have a baby that is dealing with microcephaly.
And on that note, it's time for another break. You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin with Janice Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist. And we'll be back right after this.
Advanced Medical Testing Centers is proud to sponsor Natural Doc Radio, co-hosted by Dr. Herbert Slavin, MD, and Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor. We are located at 7200 West Commercial Boulevard, Suite 209 in Lauderhill, and you can find us on the web at amtcenters.com. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is your premier blood draw center, staffed by professionals with over 15 years' experience, clean, comfortable, and efficient. We guarantee your appointment time and guarantee the lowest price. We test for cardiovascular disease, cancer, diabetes, and more. We draw for all specialty labs, including Access, Health Diagnostic, Singulex, Innovative, Quest, LabCorp, and others. Call us today to set up an appointment. 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332.
Hi, I'm Janet Cimarelli, and I'm here to tell you about Dr. Herb Slavin, the medical director of the Institute of Advanced Medicine in Lauderhill. The Institute brings the latest natural approaches to health, supported by research. We offer a full range of traditional and holistic treatments. The primary goal of the Institute of Advanced Medicine is to give you, the patient, the information you need to stay healthy and live long. So before you feel sick, before you develop symptoms, come see the team at the Institute of Advanced Medicine. You can call today, 954-748-9000. 4991 to learn all about the services offered at the Institute. Services from on-demand to chiropractic, from natural skin solutions to nutrition testing and support. 954-748-4991. You can visit drslavin.com to learn more.
You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin with Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist. And Janet, we started off today's program talking about the Zika virus. I'd like to switch topics a little bit now in order to put things in some perspective and talk briefly about Lyme disease. Now, Lyme disease is it's a tick-borne illness, not a mosquito-borne illness. It's from a bacteria, but there are approximately 30,000 cases of Lyme disease reported to the CDC by state health departments each year. And for some reason, I don't recall anybody talking about Lyme disease like they're talking about Zika. And I would say that Lyme disease is a far more serious problem. What do you think, Janet?
Well, I would very much agree with the statement that it is a far more serious problem. And unfortunately, some of the things that tend to make it a more serious problem is the failure of the medical community to have a higher efficiency with regard to diagnosing Lyme disease, that we, as with the Zika virus, we don't know all that much about all of the details, and they spread far and wide when people are infected with Lyme. So there's no truly for sure 100% effective way to overcome exposure to Lyme. So there's so much to learn here, and I'm going back to the bottom line: support your immune system.
That's correct. And if we were to put things into further perspective, people are so worried about Lyme disease. Lyme doesn't kill nearly as many, Zika doesn't kill nearly as many people as sugar. And yet nobody is talking much about sugar. I mean, sugar causes millions of deaths a year, but that's okay to have sugar. Now, you mentioned strengthening the immune system. There is a treatment out there that used to be used routinely in hospitals prior to 1950, and that was the ultraviolet blood therapy. And you should really read about it, because it's just another example of a very effective treatment that was suppressed, like with the the Rife machine. You know, Royal Rife was an inventor. He made a device that he could that useful in killing infections, and even useful against cancer. And he made a light microscope that was more powerful than any microscope, a light microscope, even to this day. But all that information was discarded because it made it too easy to. A better way is it made it less profitable to treat illness. The ultraviolet blood machine was used in an era before antibiotics to treat infections, life-threatening infections, and they treated very successfully. But then antibiotics came on the scene, and they said that would be a more profitable approach to treating illness. But the problem with that is the ultraviolet blood therapies also treat viruses, so it would be effective against Zika. It also strengthens your immune system and improves tissue oxygenation in your body. So it has far more benefits with no side effects than all the drugs that are being offered to people. So, you know, people should be aware that there are other approaches than just drugs to treat their problems. And but
Dr.
still, the best
Craven,
approach.
I have a question. The ultraviolet blood treatment approach, very effective at killing all sorts of microorganisms, bacteria, virus, parasites, fungus. When it kills off those microorganisms, this actually is a two-part question, do people need to be attentive to reestablishing beneficial bacteria in their guts? That's question number one. And certainly we have been getting more and more information these days with regard to how biofilms play a role, and the microorganisms that are negatives are kind of congregating in these biofilms, so it isn't just a bacteria or a virus or a fungus. Any of those individual microorganisms that are making you sick, is the ultraviolet blood treatment, the UVLRX, is that capable of causing a biofilm to disintegrate, kind of removing the happy home of all of those infectious microorganisms?
Yeah, I think it's capable of piercing the biofilm. Now, the interesting thing, and this is an important distinction, between the old approach where you take blood out of the person, usually about 8 ounces, expose it to ultraviolet light, and then put it back into the person. The new approach, as the name implies, polychromatic intravenous light therapy, meaning we put the light source just into the vein, a superficial vein, the same vein that you would have an IV inserted into. So the light source goes there. The treatment takes an hour. And during that hour, you have 100% of your blood exposed, not just to ultraviolet light, because with this approach, we can use other frequencies as well. So we use red light and green light, which each have their own specific benefits associated with them. The red light strengthens the person's immune system. The ultraviolet light kills pathogens, and the green light increases the ability of the red blood cells to deliver oxygen to the tissue. So people get many benefits for many different conditions. I've placed these on my website, drslavin.com. If you go under functional medicine, there are two columns there, so it's in alphabetical order. Take the second one and go down to the where we talk about UVLRX and ultraviolet blood therapy, and you can learn more. You know, like I said, this was mainstream medicine not that long ago, 1949. It was written up in Time magazine about how effective this new and emerging approach to treating infections was. And then they just stopped because they could make more money using bacteria, using antibiotics to treat bacterial infections instead. But the ultraviolet light therapy treats a lot of other conditions. It helps wounds heal. A lot of inflammatory conditions are helped. People with poor circulation are helped. It's really amazing just how effective this therapy is with no side effects. And it would be effective against the Zika virus. It's effective against Lyme disease, too. Those are bacteria. So it's effective against, you know, viruses and bacteria and fungi. So it's got a very broad spectrum of benefits. So just, people should be aware of these things. But still, the best approach is to keep from getting sick. And that's an area that nothing is being done by physicians. in that area. If it was, then you would see far fewer people in hospitals. In fact, in my opinion, the only people in hospitals would be the ones that were injured in accidents, as opposed to the ones that have chronic illnesses, and they're, you know, and they're in and out of the hospital because they're not taking the appropriate steps for themselves, even though they're on lots of medications. You see, if the medications were adequate in and of themselves, then, you know, people would be out of the, you know, wouldn't have to go to the hospital. But medications aren't enough. You still have to do the right thing for your body. And the best time is to start before you get sick. Jen, I know you have a comment on that.
Okay, I just love the best time to take care of this is before you get sick. And there are so many natural ways, choosing the right things with regard to your diet. And Dr. Slavin, you mentioned sugar, that no one is addressing the problem that is absolutely rampant here in the United States, and that is sugar ingestion. People don't even realize how much sugar they're taking in. People don't even realize how disruptive to their blood sugar chemistry, their pancreas and liver function, when they are using artificial sweeteners. So because a sweetener has no calories does not necessarily exempt it from what I'm talking about. You for sure want to make certain that you are avoiding processed foods that are contaminated not only with artificial sweeteners, and I tell people look for words like aspartame and sucralose in the ingredient list, but you want to make sure that you're staying away from the commercial yogurts. That's a very good example, in my opinion. The commercial yogurts, if you take a look at the supplement facts information on the container, if they have fruit in them, they are very, very high sugar content. If they are artificially sweetened, you're not getting the sugar from the additive sugar, but you're getting the sugar from the dairy products, and there's that combination that has a dramatic impact on your blood sugar chemistry, and that further disrupts how your immune system is going to function. It further disrupts how your liver and pancreas are going to function. It further disrupts your microbiome. So there are so many kind of sneaky ways that Americans are overwhelmed with sugars, and that disrupts your immune system, and that is the basis of maintaining wellness.
And time for another break. You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin with Janice Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist, and we'll be back right after this.
Why should I do blood testing? I feel fine. Advanced medical testing provides information in advance of symptoms developing. Get the health information you need to stay healthy. Get the information you need to minimize the need for medical treatment. When you know where to focus your efforts, the results can be rewarding. Get healthy. Stay healthy. With the information you need from Advanced Medical Testing Center. 754-216-2332. 754-216-2332.
A glutathione IV is the most efficient way to enhance your glutathione levels. This super antioxidant is difficult to absorb when taken orally. Glutathione is essential to revitalizing the body's antioxidants. More importantly, glutathione levels are associated with your body's ability to neutralize overexposure to radiation, DNA repair mechanisms, and immune function. Low levels of glutathione ultimately lead to symptoms of disease and aging. You can enhance the effectiveness of your glutathione IV treatment with NAC and alpha-lipoic acid, and include high sulfur containing foods in your diet, such as garlic, onions, cauliflower, avocado, and walnuts. Get started today on the path to optimize wellness with an IV glutathione treatment. Call Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor, at 954-748-4991.
How do you know what testing you should get at Advanced Medical Testing Centers? Advanced Medical Testing Centers offers testing packages at reduced rates so you can test for most common health challenges, hormone imbalances, immune issues, heart problems, blood sugar imbalances, and many others are available at AMT Center. 754-216-2332, 754-216-2332.
Listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin with Janice Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist. And we left off talking about sugar because sugar is probably the number one killer in the world and probably the number one cause, I shouldn't say that, number one cause of illness, which leads to death in this country. And I came across an interesting graph that shows which countries around the world consume the most sugar? And Jana, what country do you think is on the top of that list in sugar consumption?
Well, I'm going to say right here at home.
And you would be right. Now, these are, I think, fairly recent statistics from April 2015. They say that the country that consumes the most sugar is the United States. They consume 127 grams of sugar per capita per day. The second country, in other words, second on the list, second from the top, is Germany, but they only consume 102 grams per capita per day. So that's 23.5 grams less than the United States. And even more importantly, people in the U.S. consume on average 2.5 times more sugar than what the World Health Organization recommends. They are recommending 50 grams per day. Now, if we're talking about grams of sugar, each gram is about 4 calories. So we're looking at 200 calories from sugar per day. Now, I was interested to see how other countries stack up here. You have United States, Germany, Netherlands is third on the list with 102. And then if we go down to the bottom of the list, just to show you the disparity between countries, India is lowest on this list with 5.1 grams of sugar consumption per day per capita. And Israel is second with 14.5 grams. Per day, per person. Are there any countries
what would be an interesting as just enlarging this picture that we're discussing, Dr. Slavin, would be to see which country in the world has the highest use of pharmaceuticals for blood pressure, diabetes, heart disease, osteoporosis. Those are some of the issues that I think are so prevalent here in the United States and in developed nations around the world. But those situations are very much related to how much sugar is consumed in a country. The people are going to be dealing with greater numbers of diagnoses in those categories.
Well, like we said, you know, sugar is probably the cause of more illness than anything else. And you mentioned several of them, the high blood pressure, high cholesterol, weight gain. But when you mention those, you have to just go a little bit further down the line. We're really talking about heart disease and cancer because they all lead up to that. And I was trying to see if I could find a graph giving an association between diabetes and sugar consumption.
The other aspect of this that would be interesting to investigate is to see, in general, what an average glucose level might be in a particular nation, or what an average A1C might be in a particular nation, because the amount of processed food that people, processed carbohydrates in particular, that people are consuming, the foods that have carbohydrates, simple carbohydrates, generally from grains, added to certain foods to make them less expensive for the producer, the manufacturer, but also to make them, in that way, they're going to make those foods more disease-contributing foods than if they didn't have those simple carbohydrate additives. So we're not talking about sugar in particular. However, the effect on people's blood chemistry is very much as though they were exposed to sugar, very much as though they were exposed to an artificial sweetener.
Now, Janet, just so it's clear, that there is a direct correlation between sugar consumption and the incidence of diabetes. So that would make the United States number one on the diabetic prevalence list as well. So I don't know how, the reason why sugar consumption is so high in this country is they put into a lot of foods because sugar is addicting, and when you put it into foods, it makes people want to eat those foods even more. So, I'm not sure how you change, our eating habits.
If you look, I think we do that here on Natural Doc Radio, Dr. Slavin. I think we inform people about the dangers of what they are consuming and how those foods actually contribute to the illnesses that they're dealing with. And I was thinking about, the high blood pressure. And so many times doctors tell their patients, stay away from the salt, low-sodium diet, and over a very long period of time, that is very disruptive to a beneficial and proper biochemistry. And indeed, what's the main contributing factor to elevated blood pressure? Sugar.
Yeah, exactly. Now, I want to see if I can find the same type of graph when it comes to diabetes around the world. And
is an interesting investigation to figure out, how does the United States rate around the world, comparing with other countries around the world, with regard to the incidence of diabetes? A very unfortunate situation, but how our highly processed diet, our diet that may very well be deficient in raw foods that naturally contain enzymes that are supportive of your digestive system, naturally containing enzymes that have a whole cascade of benefits from simply eating raw foods. And then there's people and they say, my digestive system is so sensitive, I can't use raw foods. Okay, so what we need to do is work on repairing the digestive tract. And one of the things that I have come to consider as a contributing factor to the development of diabetes is irritation and disruption in basic digestive function. So if your digestive system is not working properly, take a look at the processed foods that you're consuming and make a beginning step to start change your diet.
Now, Jenna, I have a short list here of countries with diabetes. It's the top three are India, China, and the U.S., This is a list of 10 countries. Italy is number 9, which is pretty good. But this list may be a little misleading because it's based on the number of people in the millions with diabetes. So naturally, countries with the highest population are going to have the highest number of people with diabetes. They're not giving a percentage, so you can see how that could be misleading in and of itself. So it would be better served to give a percentage instead. So see if I can find something else. But nevertheless, it's being predicted that whatever the level of diabetes is now, it's going to increase to a great extent.
Your risk of stroke increases, your risk of heart attack increases, your risk of cancer increases with a long-term diagnosis of diabetes that is unattended to. So changing your diet, that's the number one step that you can make in order to improve the situation. Exercise, simply walking, simply moving, that is critically important with regard to overcoming blood sugar instability and disruption.
And I'd like to thank all our listeners. You've been listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin with Janice Imrelli, licensed nutritionist. Bye-bye, everybody.
You have been listening to Natural Doc Radio, brought to you by AMT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory, and energize all the systems of your body. Listen every day for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT Centers, as well as the interpretation and action needed based on your test results. Listen for special events at Advanced Medical Testing Centers. Tune in again next time and get healthy. The opinions expressed on the preceding sponsored program were strictly those of its hosts, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of the station, its staff, management, or sponsors.